For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall we be known even as we are also known. I want to speak tonight on the subject, don't change, but don't stay the same. Don't change, but don't stay the same. Or, as you change, stay the same. Or, the same, and yet different. I think not only will there be exhortation tonight and practical application, but I think there'll be some information for some of you that perhaps you've never known before or never heard before or have learned and forgotten in days gone by. Our Father, bless us as we think on this great truth tonight. Thank you for a book of truth and a book of truths. And may we, as we think on this one tonight, rejoice in it, be edified by it, and be prompted to serve because of it. Bless our discussion, our study, our message. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I better lay some foundation and teach just a minute before we get into the main body of the message tonight. You don't have to turn to it. In fact, I'd rather you wouldn't. But I'll read it to you. You sure I've got the right? Yeah. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, or that is, the redemption of our body. Now follow me very, very, very carefully. The Bible says the day is going to come when our bodies are redeemed. Now that time is going to come at the rapture. It says at that time that it's called the adoption of our bodies. The word adoption there is the word majority as opposed to a minor. We will become adults spiritually when we are raptured, when our bodies are raised from the dead and are translated, if we're still alive at the time. At that time, the Bible says we will become adults. Now, this is a little bit of review for a few of you. Folks in heaven now are not adults. Dr. John Rice is in heaven, but he's not an adult yet. He's still a child. Charles Haddon Spurgeon is in heaven, but he's not an adult yet. He's still a child. Dwight L. Moody is in heaven. He's almost an adult, but he's not an adult yet. He's still a child. He has not yet had his adoption or majority. He's not yet become a major yet. He's still a minor. Because the Bible says that the adoption, that is the redemption of our bodies. That's what it means in 1 John 3:2. But not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When will we be like him? When he shall appear. Has he appeared yet? No. In heaven, they're not like him. My mother's in heaven, but she's not like Jesus. Dr. John Rice is in heaven, but he's not like Jesus. Dr. Bob Jones is in heaven, but he's not like Jesus. Now, he will be like Jesus at the rapture and not before the rapture. At the rapture, he receives his glorified body. So he's like Jesus. That's when he becomes an adult in the family of God. Until then, he is a child in the family of God. Now, that means this. That means when a person dies, now follow this carefully, when a person dies, he does not all of a sudden go to heaven and become a full-grown adult. Folks have the idea that people never praise the Lord down here, never say amen. I'm not talking about whether it's public or private, doesn't matter. If you want to have a spell in this church, okay. If you want a spell by yourself, it's okay, but have a spell. I don't care where you have your spell, but you ought to have a spell. You got the idea. Well, never praise God down here. All of a sudden, we're going to go to heaven, and all of us are going to start praising God all at one time. No, if you don't praise God now, you went to heaven tonight, you wouldn't praise God when you got there. Because you won't be any... You'll arrive in heaven at the same age spiritually or development spiritually that you leave earth. Well, you said, Brother Howard, you mean I'll be the same ornery guy when I get to heaven that I am on earth? No, you won't be that because you won't have any sin. But the only difference, now follow this, the only difference between you now and if you went to heaven tonight, the only difference between you now and tomorrow would be the absence of sin. You would not know any more Bible than you know now. you would not love Jesus any more than you love Him now. For in heaven now there is a constant growth as children waiting for the adulthood, but that adulthood will not come until the rapture and we receive our glorified bodies. Now, I want to lay that foundation and then bring the message. Paul is trying to tell us here in our passages read a while ago, that we will keep our identity as we grow. It says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, then shall be known, even as we are also known. You'll be known in heaven, like you're known here. You will retain your identity in heaven. And somebody asked tonight, will you be called the same name when you get to heaven? You're called here. I think you'll be given a new name, but I don't think we're going to forget the present names. And if Dr. Evans, for example, has a new name in heaven, I may forget and call him Dr. Heaven. Dr. Hades. But I may forget and call him Dr. Evans sometime because I'll know both names. Like when a young lady gets married. She may give her original name out when the first day or two or a few weeks maybe because there's not any she's not in the habit of calling herself by her new name. And people may call her by her old name because they're not in the habit of calling her by her new name. So, but I want to say this, that in heaven we will keep our identity. I'll still be me when I get to heaven. And by the way, I'll always be me, and you'll always be you. And your personality characteristics will be in heaven. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean when you get to heaven, you'll be stubborn if you're stubborn here. I don't mean that because stubbornness is a sin. And, well, for with me, it's standing for my convictions. But for you, it's a sin. But anyway, you will have the same characteristics. If your disposition may be an awful lot in heaven, and if it changes, it'll be a gradual change instead of an immediate change, because you will take with you to heaven your identity. Even heaven will have the very same identity we have here. Now, often we're prone to make heaven a compensation for earth. Oh, earth is so bad, but we'll get to heaven and all this old bad things we've had to endure down here on earth, be cast aside. Now I want to say this. Heaven is not a compensation of earth. Heaven is an extension of earth. Heaven is a development of earth. I've said so often, I think that heaven is on a planet somewhere. I really do. I don't think that heaven is a bunch of blindfolded spirits floating around up there or a bunch of folks wearing blonde hair with long dresses, waving magic wands and singing holy, 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 and eating spoofle dust. I don't think that. I think that heaven is a place like this is a place. I think it's a planet like this is a planet. I think it's real like this is real. I think it has furniture like this is furniture. I think it has streets like the streets out there. Nope, not like the streets out there. But as real as the streets out there. I think it has houses as real as the houses that you live in. I think people that live there have bodies like we have bodies here. I think they're occupied like we're occupied here. I think that they have schedules like we have schedules here. I think they live lives like we live lives here. I think they walk down the street like we walk down the street here. I think they say howdy to the neighbors like we should, but don't up north. Like they do down in the south. But anyway, there are Pharisees down there, but they're very friendly Pharisees. But I've tried in these years I've been your pastor, I've tried to make heaven, make you realize the reality of heaven. My mother tonight lives in a house on a street with sidewalks probably, and she has conveyance, and she has friends, and she has a vocation, and she talks, and she sings, and she goes places, and she visits, and so forth. The truth is, my mama is still my mama in heaven, and she still has her identity. So heaven is a development or an extension. You see, the glorious life begun at salvation is heaven on earth. So consequently, we die and go to heaven. In heaven, it is simply a more glorious place than the glorious place we have now. This earth is a wonderful place always to live. We go from a glorious place to a more glorious place. We go to a rejoicing place to a more rejoicing place. And now, let me illustrate what I'm trying to say. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to pray. I can hardly mention the word prayer without my blood pressure rising. I mean that. The longer I live, the more I think, the more the joys of prayer and the power of prayer and the blessing of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. It's a wonderful thing to pray. I told the Lord this afternoon as I was alone with him for an hour or so. I told him how wonderful he is and how wonderful it is to be able to talk to him. But you know, that's wonderful. But now, can you imagine what this verse is saying here is that heaven is an extension, improvement, a development of what goes on earth. And I was thinking this afternoon, won't it be a tremendous thing to pray when we can see him? And I got thinking. I was spending some time in prayer, and I got thinking how wonderful this is. I'm talking to Jesus right now. I'm talking to him. Now, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you want something from him just to go next door and say, Jesus, could I ask you for something, please? And you look in his face and ask him what you want. That's sort of good. But you see, heaven is an extension. But now, I'll be the same me when I get there as I am now. I'll be the same me. I'll be old Jack. No, Jesus will call me Dr. House. But I'm simply saying that it's an extension of now. Isn't it a wonderful thing to study the Bible? I mean, we have God's book, and the more I live, the more wonderful this book becomes. And I love to teach it, and some of you love to hear me teach it. But I got thinking today, in heaven, be the same me, same Bible, but won't it be good? We sit in Bible 131, and Dr. Jesus is the teacher. And he'll actually teach it, and we'll listen to him as he teaches the Bible. And he'll teach the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And we'll let Luke teach Acts, and we'll let Paul teach Romans, and we'll let John teach Revelation. And, of course, I'll be teaching some of that, too. And, I'll be correcting John. He makes a mistake on the apocalypse. But anyway, I'm not going to correct Jesus, though. But I mean, look, folks, that's what heaven is. Down here on earth, we got the Bible, we study it. I wish I could make you love it. I wish I could make you love prayer. I wish I could make you love walking with God. I wish I could make you love fellowshipping with God. I wish I could make you love to study this book as much as you love the newspaper and sports magazine, and Women's Home Garden and Ladies' Home Journal and Man's Home Mechanics. And I wish I could make you love the Bible. But you see, down here, we pray. There, we can look at him while we pray. And down here, we study his book. It's a wonderful thing to do. And there, he'll teach it to us himself. I was thinking this afternoon, I was praising God a few minutes and for all the goodness that good things he's done for me and for some of the bad things he's done for me. I haven't got where I'm praising him for all the bad things yet, but I was praising him for some of the good things he's done. And I got to thinking, wouldn't it be good when you praise him and can look in his face? My mama praises God tonight. She says, Lord, can I praise you a while? You don't like that, do you? But I love it. She says, Lord, I want to praise you a while. You got a minute, Jesus? Yeah, okay, I just want to tell you how wonderful you are. That's what heaven is, an extension of what we have on earth. You heard me say this at Lord's Supper time. Bible says that Jesus said, I will not take the supper with you until the kingdom. So when Jesus comes again, he is going to take the Lord's Supper with us. And I often think, as he passes the elements to us and we take the bread, often think we'll be able to see the nails in his hands as he passes the elements to us. And we can say, Jesus, we've been doing this now all these years. All these many years, we've been taking the bread and the juice, and now you're here to take it with us. And we've been talking to you but can't see you. How would you like to sit right next to Jesus during the Lord's Supper? I mean personally next to Jesus. Oh, I wish I could make heaven real to you. Let's take serving Him. You serve Him now, but you can't see Him. But wouldn't it be? He said, as much as you've done one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done to me. So if you give a cup of cold water to somebody else, it's like giving a cup of cold water to Jesus. If you visit somebody else who's sick, you're like visiting Jesus. If you feed somebody, it's like feeding Jesus. But how would you like to make some brownies and take them by Jesus' house? Huh? How'd you like to bake some cookies and say, Jesus, thought you'd like to have some of these? Oh, you say, come on. We're not going to do that. Well, I'm not going to, but some of you ladies will. I'm not going to bake any cookies in heaven or on earth. But I'm simply saying that heaven is an extension. He is saying we will grow, but we'll still retain our identity. I said this so often at the college, that I want you to grow in grace while you're here, but don't want you to transfer in grace. I don't want you transferring the taste you have here for some more taste up here. That's becoming a snob. I want you to grow in grace, to increase in grace, not trade in grace, not change in grace. Lord never said change in grace. He said grow in grace. What does that mean? It means, just like I said to the young people this week, it means that when you become a teenager, you don't quit being a child. It means when you become an adult, you don't quit being a child or a teenager. You grow. You don't say, okay, as a child, I want you to grow. Now you're a teenager, I want you to grow. No, that's not growth. That's same size. This is growth right here. And so the Lord is saying in heaven, I want you to grow in grace, but He's saying, like my old professor used to say in seminary, young men, I want you to, when you get out there in the field, jump as high as you can jump. High as you can jump, as long as you can walk straight when you hit the ground. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that we will grow in grace, and in heaven it'll be an extension of what is here on earth, but we'll also retain our identity here on this earth. I think those qualities about us that are not sinful, but are our own, what am I trying to word, what I want, unique qualities, we'll have them there. I think Dr. Evans' personality will be about the same thing there. It is here. Boring. About the same thing. I think Brother Bullard will not match his tie and his suit when he gets to heaven, just like he is here. I'm simply saying, I think that folks in heaven, I think if you're a little talkative on earth, you may be a little talkative when you get there. Those of us who are very quiet and retiring, we may be the same thing when we get there. Look, when a loved one dies and goes to heaven, just changes towns, that's all. He just goes to another planet to live. That's all. Look, when the guys went to the moon, they were the same guys up there on the moon. They talked the same way. Well, the heavens out yonder, you know, every once in a while, they say that out in the northern part of space, there is a blank place out there. And they haven't discovered yet any planets out there. And they say that every once in a while, they say, all of a sudden a light flashes. But they haven't discovered anything that far away yet. But light flashes. I said, that's easy. It's just a back door of heaven opening for a while. Or it's Jesus opening the front door to welcome somebody into heaven. And the light flashes for a while. I think it's real. I don't want you to get the idea that we're going to go somewhere and just fly and shout and wave a magic wand all the time. No, no. Heaven is an extension of earth. Listen, by the way, when you get to heaven, you'll enjoy the Bible like you enjoy it here. You're not going to all of a sudden, when you get to heaven, start enjoying the Bible. And you folks that are bored, listen, that are bored with what I'm teaching you right now, will be bored when you get to heaven, when you first get to heaven, and you have to grow in grace to learn how to enjoy the Bible. I've done this often before. I've done this before in Bible studies on Wednesday night. Turned up just a tad, please. And here you are. And that's very good. And okay, here's what you think. You're sitting here watching television, and you're watching Dallas, our Love Boat, and and you're watching it. And here's what you think. All of a sudden, you have a heart attack and die and go to heaven. Here's what you think. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm saved. Oh, no, 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 no. Here's the way it'll be. You're watching Love Boat. Where is this? You got TV, Sam? Yeah. But if when I was in a motel room not long ago, up on top of that motel room, praising God, if, here I am, when I praise God, I get up on the bed and make a made a trampling out of the bed. I was up there praising God. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. See, I just keep on doing it. I wouldn't have to break stride. See? I'm simply saying, you folks don't like to come to church on Wednesday night, won't enjoy heaven when you first get there. Oh, you won't. No, you won't. You say, well, people say, you know what? We can't come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night during school time because a little junior needs his sleep. He's got to get sleep 5:30 because he needs his sleep. First place, half of that, you want to get little Junior out of your hair so you can have some time alone. In the second place, little Junior doesn't have to go to sleep 8 o'clock at night. The doctors have sold you a bill of goods about that.
Amen.
That's neither here nor there. He and I agree on that. And with just you on my side, I never felt so lonely in my life, I guarantee you. Sure. I ain't this thing of going to bed for a child going to 8 o'clock. Now, I'll get in trouble here, but that's what I think. And I used to be a lot better. Well, okay. But it's a funny thing. When school's out in the summertime, you don't all of a sudden make a quick trip and change to start coming to midweek service, do you? Huh? Your problem is not Junior needs his sleep. Your problem is you don't love the Bible. That's your problem. Huh? If you loved it, you'd read it at home more. Are you not going to all of a sudden love to pray? You're not going to, death will not do one single thing. It'll just drop off sin. That's all. The sin will be gone, but the degree of growth will be determined by how much you've already grown, and you will arrive in the holy city with the same amount of knowledge about God and the same love for God and the same fervor in prayer that you had when you left. Now, I've got to get to the sermon. What is, then, this earth? It's a place of rehearsal. You know, at our youth conference, we had some short speeches. For example, every session we had some lady talk to the girls for 15, 20 minutes. It was supposed to be 15, but they took 20. And we had some men talk to the boys, 15, 20 minutes. Of course, men's probably 15. They took on to 10 because men are more gracious than ladies. But seriously, Cindy, our daughter, spoke to the girls one time for 15 minutes. And she said something like this. She said, you girls that think that you're going to be rude to your daddy and not loving to your daddy and not thoughtful of your daddy, and then suddenly you get married, and all of a sudden you're going to be a loving, thoughtful little sweetheart. She said, you've got another thing coming. Because she said, and she's right, you're going to treat your husband about like you treated your dad. And the treatment of your husband, of your dad, now is practice. So when you get married, you will have learned how to treat a man and how to spoil him and how to love him. And you will transfer the treatment that you gave to your dad to your husband. That's what she said. Now, that's what I'm saying here. One reason you praise God now while we're on earth is so you can get in practice, so you can have a spell when you get to heaven. The reason you read the Bible and study the Bible now is so when you get to heaven, you can enjoy Bible study. What a tragedy it'd be to yawn in Jesus' face while he's teaching you the Bible. What a tragedy it'd be for you to go to sleep during Bible study and Jesus is the teacher. Now, you listen to me. You will retain your identity. Now, let's pivot and go to the practical side for some practical teaching. As I grow in heaven, my identity will remain the same. That means while I'm on earth, as I grow in any area of my life. I am to see to it that I retain my same identity. Illustration. Several years ago, our oldest daughter, Becky, wrote me a little note, one of the sweetest little notes I ever received, one little sentence, and that's all it said. That's all it said. Dear Dad, somewhere down inside this 34-year-old body of mine, there is still a little golden-haired girl that adores her daddy. Isn't that sweet? Somewhere down inside this 34-year-old body of mine, there's still a little golden-haired girl that still adores her daddy. Now, that's what God is saying here. God is saying, even as in heaven, you will grow, you retain your identity, you'll still be you, I'll still be the same me, and God is saying here, while you're on earth, don't get bigger than your hat size. Don't get too big for your britches. I better take that to heart. That's not what it says. Let me tell you what it says in the Greek. But anyway, now, the truth is, God is telling us, grow in grace, but retain your identity. As you change, stay the same. Don't go higher, listen to this, don't go higher than you can go. When you can't take the real you with you, don't go any farther. When you go higher than the real you can go, then you stop for a while. When you see a new you appearing, stop. That's what he's saying. He's saying that when we get to heaven, we'll have our same identity. We will grow like this. Now, look. As we grow in grace, we're not supposed to do like that. We're supposed to do like that. Keep your feet on the ground while you grow. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't lose yourself. Let's take the matter of education. I'd rather close the doors in Howells Anderson College than to train young people to think they're smarter than mom and dad back home. I recall one time several years ago, one of our good men worked out the steel mill. He worked out there for 20 years. I mean, boy, and you fellows that work out there and have worked out there, you know that is not like working in the Garden of Eden. Adam did not have it quite as bad when he took care of the Garden of Eden. But for 20 years, that man went out there, those blast furnaces. He did not buy a new car. He did not buy a new house. He and his wife did without, and they put their money up in a bank. And they saved it for one reason. They had a son they wanted to send to college. This man could not go to college himself, and he wanted his son to have the privileges he did not have. That's back in the days when going to a college was a privilege. Now then, these heathen colleges, there's no privilege to go. They're zoos and jungles and houses of prostitution. But anyway, this man told me, he said, Pastor, the dream of my life, see my boy get an education I didn't have. I remember the day he told that boy goodbye. I was with him when he told his boy goodbye. He looked at me and tears rolling down his cheeks. He said, this is the happiest moment of my life. My boy is getting his education. And the fruit of my labors, all these 20 years of working in the blast furnaces at the steel mill. And that boy went to college, and one year he stayed in college, and a bunch of heathen pagan animals who they call professors taught that boy he was better than his mom and dad, and that boy will never see the day he can get close to being the people his mom and dad are. He came home too good for his mom and dad. Brother, if that ever happens at Howells Anderson College, I'll burn the place down. We're here to help you to grow, not to transfer. Whenever you've taken so much English, did you go home and criticize your pastor's grammar? Stop taking the English. We're not educating a bunch of slobs. I want you to take English. I want you to learn all the grammar you can. But I don't want you ever to rise above the man that prayed you to God. Ever to rise above the mom and dad that fed you and nursed you and loved you. I don't think there's anything any rotten, more rotten than a young person to think he's better than his mom and dad because he happened to have been to a university. Think about that old story about the guy down the country who saved his money, sent his boy off to college, and the old farmer never had learned much. And the boy came home for the first time, and the boy went back to school after the first visit home. His neighbor next door said, "Hey, Zeke," said, "your boy's done gone off to university." He said, "That's right." He said, "What did he learn?" He said, "He learned that pi r square." He said, "It's wrong. Pi r not square. Cornbread are square. Pi r round." But he said, "You know what boy learned? That boy's a different boy. A university's done some good for him. He used to plow behind his old horse, and he'd get to the end of the row. He'd say, 'Whoa, Reb, turn around and get up.' Now he gets to the end of the row. He says, 'Halt, Rebecca, pivot and proceed.' But the mule didn't turn around. What is God telling us? God is telling us this. He's saying, while you grow in grace. Don't transfer in grace. Don't become a snob in grace. Grow in grace." He's saying, when you go away to school, or whether you go away to school or not, if you have musical training, all of a sudden you have become a scholar musically, don't you go home and criticize the choir at home. First time I hear a Hiles Anderson College music student thinking because he's learned a lot of highbrow music, he goes home and criticizes the music of his home church, I'm going to ship him, let him go home and sit there and make him listen to it for a while. He can become a gentleman or a lady. God is simply saying, he's saying, retain your identity. Change, but don't change. Keep the real you, and may the real you extend and grow. That's what heaven's like. That's what God is saying down here. Same thing about success. I want to say this tonight, and I'll give my enemies a chance to make some notes. So get your pen out and paper and take it down. And this will give you a good chance for you to have something to talk about. I want to say this. I've had my share of success in the ministry. I've known my share of success as a gospel preacher. But I'll guarantee you this is true. Now, I can't prove it to you, but you'll know it someday when we get to the judgment seat. I can't prove it to you, but I'll guarantee you that you're hearing the same old Jack preaching that preached down yonder in East Texas 40 years ago. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. I guarantee you that down inside this 60-year-old body, been preaching for 40 years, is still that same little old introvert that started out 40 years ago. I guarantee you that inside this little body, inside this amazing hook that you see before you tonight, inside this 60-year-old body, that's the truth, inside this 60-year-old body, I mean it, there's still a little shy boy that lives inside. A little boy that when he goes to the Bill Rice Ranch, he doesn't go down and eat at the dining hall because he's too timid to walk alone. And so he goes to town to eat because he's too shy to walk down there by himself. I'm saying, I don't want to lose my little. I don't want to lose what I was. I never want to lose that little boy that sat on Mama's knee and heard her read the Bible to him every night. And if you think I've lost any of my childhood, show up at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I still got it, boy. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I feel sorry for you intellectuals. I really do. Especially if you traded childhood for intellectualism, you got a bad trade. Somebody should have given you some boot in that trade. Or give you a boot now. No, I'm simply saying that if you lost your childhood, I'd rather keep my childhood and not get my adulthood than get my adulthood and lose my childhood. Children have more fun down inside. And by the way, like I said, I've had my share of success. in the ministry. I pastor more people tonight than any man's ever pastored in the history of America. I'm not saying I'm a great preacher. I'm saying God's been good to me. But I guarantee you, you're not listening to a big shot. You're listening to a little old guy that was reared in poverty, that couldn't make a speech in high school and flunked public speaking, and sucked his thumb at his 14 years of age and didn't own his own pair of shoes at his 14 years of age, and is still a little bit shy. And brother, I want to tell you, I wouldn't want to lose that for the whole world. And God is simply saying, He's saying, while you grow, keep that. Keep your own identity. Be you while you grow. Same thing's true about money. I was thinking about this message. My Uncle Harvey was, well, he is worth buku money. I go using Greek words again. But he was worth buku money. I've seen my Uncle Harvey in the back seat of a brand new black Cadillac car with a chauffeur in the front seat. Tell the chauffeur to stop at a little cantaloupe stand on the side of the road. A fellow was out there by himself selling cantaloupes. I've seen my Uncle Harvey. I saw this. I was in the car. Uncle Harvey, worth millions of dollars. He said to the fella, how much are your cantaloupes? He said, 2 for a quarter. Uncle Harvey said, I'll give you a quarter for 3. Fella said, I can't do that. Uncle Harvey said, the chauffeur, drive on. He didn't buy the cantaloupes. Now, wait a minute. That same Uncle Harvey that tried to cheat the man out of a cantaloupe, that same Uncle Harvey came out one day and stopped at our little shack of a place, lived in a little bitty shack of a house. And he said to my mother, said, Costell, get in the car. And my mother and I got in the car. And Uncle Harvey drove us out to 1830 Garza Street. And a nice little rock, two-bedroom rock house out there. Uncle Harvey stopped in front of it and said, Costell, it's yours as long as you live. It's yours as long as you live. So as Uncle Harvey grew, he still had that poor man in him. He wanted to cheat that guy out of that cantaloupe. Now, I love it. I don't know why, but I love it. I was down in Jamaica, and they have these purse straw markets down there. You buy purses and straw hats and stuff made out of straw. And I wanted to buy a gift, and if a guy, I'm not sure it's a purse what it was. I wanted to buy one anyway. Maybe it's something for the grandkids. But I saw it, and no, it had the grandkids in. One of the kids. I saw it, and I wanted to buy it. And the fellow said, what's the price? He told me. I said, I'll give you so and so. He said, no, but he came down a little bit. I said, okay, I'll give you so. I waited up. He came down a little bit. I said, okay. This is my price. No more. I will not give you any more. This is my final price. Take it, leave it. He said, mister, I wouldn't sell you this now. He said, you couldn't buy it at the original price. You've taken away the fun. He said, I like to bargain. He said, you could have bargained me down to that price, but when you said take it or leave it, you lost your purse. He wouldn't sell me anything. I said, how about that one? He said, I won't sell you anything. I liked it. You know why? Because he was he. I mean, you couldn't buy him off. And as a person becomes more educated, whatever that is, and more successful, and makes more money, forget it! Make as much money as the real you can make. And get as much education as the real you can get. And have as much success as the real you can get. But don't go higher than you can go. And when you see a new you appearing, stop. That's what I thank God for about Russell Anderson. Russell Anderson has gone high in the world, but brother, old Russ still lives inside that body. Of course, there's something else I like about him, too. Not only I like what lives in his body, like what lives in his pocket. But anyway, that's what I like about Jack DeCoster and John Byler. They're just common as they ever were. Nothing fancy about them. They don't even know they're rich. First time I traveled with Jack DeCoster, I carried a big, nice suitcase, and he carried an old one, had a rope tied around it to keep it from falling open. I'm simply saying that one of these days, thank God, we're going to go to heaven. But God says, I want the real you up here. Now listen, you know why? Because God chose you to love him in a way that nobody else can love him. And God gave you the uniqueness of personality that you have so that you could praise him and love him in a unique way, and nobody can love God like I can love him. They may love him as much or more, but not like I can love him. Because God made me to love him in a certain way and made me to praise him in a certain way, and he gave me this particular disposition and my personality and my uniqueness so that I could return to him a unique kind of love, a unique kind of worship, a unique kind of praise, a unique kind of service. And I don't want to change me. I want to still be me. And that same thing about growing in grace. You know, I don't want to be a theologian. First place, I don't like them very much. Second place, I don't want to be like them. I don't ever say, now, in verse number 3, we go back into the original language of the apocalyptic apocalypse, and we go back into the Pentateuch of the apocalypse, and we study the Petrian theology. Well, why don't you say what you mean so we can understand you? You know what a good teacher is these days? A good teacher is a fellow you can't understand. He's a teacher type. I don't want to be a theologian. I want to be a child. I want to be a child. I want my eyes to sparkle like Jacqueline Scott's eyes sparkle. I want to look at life the same way she looks at life. I told you this. I love it. She was about 4 years old. Her mother and daddy have taught her never take anything from a stranger. Jack, her dad was preaching somewhere, and her mother and Jacqueline were there. A lady walked up and offered Jacqueline, said, Jacqueline, I'll give you something. And Jacqueline said, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to take anything from strangers. And the lady said, oh, I'm sorry, I was going to give you a piece of candy. And Jacqueline said, haven't we met somewhere before? I love it. I love it. And that's the way I want to be. I won't be looking for candy all the time. But I want to keep that walking through life. I don't want to get surly and bitter and people have done me wrong, and so I'll get that. I don't want to get that way. I don't. Look, folks have done all of us wrong. Watch out there. You're gonna bite somebody. And I don't want to be that way. And I don't want to be a know-it-all.
Yes, and it says here in Romans chapter 3, it says,
won't you jump up and down while you say it says it? Won't you praise God because it says it? Won't you have a spell because it says it? Won't you throw a fit because it says it? So I say, when we get to heaven, God has a particular way for me to praise him and to love him and adore him and worship him. And he does before I get to heaven too. And I want to keep me. I want to keep my identity, and I want the real me to get to be there. So as I grow in grace, if I do, I don't want to. The Bible means, that doesn't mean transfer in grace, means stretch in grace. Like this. Remember when you used to say, Zacchaeus was? I want to be like a child. Well, anyway. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He'd climb up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the master came away, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree, because I'm going to your house today. Now, I want to enjoy that. I feel sorry for you adults. Won't you enjoy life like we kids do? That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. He's saying, change. Don't change, but don't be the same. He's saying, add the depth. You know what I want to be? And I don't know whether I am or not, but I want to be. I want to be able to come here on Wednesday night and teach you the Bible. And I want it to challenge everybody in the house, no matter how developed your mind is. And I want to go to the youth conference with the teenagers, and I want to be a teenager with the teenagers. And tomorrow morning, I want to be a kid to the kids. And I want to have all of everything I've ever had that's right and good. And I want, when I face the Savior, and I understand it won't be too many more years, when I face the Savior, I want to give Him a little childhood hug. And I want to give Him the adoration of a teenager, but I want to give Him the depth of love that an adult can. And the Lord is saying here through the apostle, He's saying, in heaven, we're going to be different. And in heaven, we'll not all be the same, but in heaven we'll still be known even as we're also known. And ask your question, are you getting too big for your britches? Now, I'm sure that all of us get accused of that. Sometimes people say to me, they can't get me on the telephone. They say, hey, you're just a big shot now. Well, it's just a matter of mathematics. If you've got 1,000 folks calling you at the same time, you can't talk to but 4 of them at the same time. It's a matter of mathematics. I mean, but I'm asking you, not what do folks think. I'm asking you, what do you think? What do you think? Getting too big for your britches? Huh? Outgrown mama? Huh? Outgrown daddy? Outgrown your pastor back home? Huh? Outgrown the music program? Huh? Something now, aren't you? No, you're not. No, you're not. You're just a dirty sinner like I am, deserve to go to hell, but God's goodness and God's grace redeemed you and made you fit for heaven and made you a new child. That's all you are. You're a sinner saved by grace just like I am. God is saying, get down off your pedestal. Down inside this 34-year-old body, there's still a little golden-haired girl that adores her daddy. And down inside this 59 years and 9 months and 27-day body. 17-day body. Hey, just made up 10 more days. There's still a little Jackie boy that still tingles when he thinks about his mama saying, it's time for us to pray. And there's still inside this 59, almost 60-year-old body, there's still a teenager that dwells here. And there's still a kid preacher that dwells here. And if I have grown in grace any, I hope under God I haven't traded what I had for what I've got. Because if I had to, I'd rather have what I had than what I've got. That's what the Savior's talking about. Someday, I'll see him. And there needs to be somebody that has what I have, who is like me, to praise him. All 3 of our daughters, for example, they're different. They're different to daddy. They love me in a different way. Show it in a different way. They're different. But they all show it. The other day, Becky on the phone said, Daddy, I love you. I said, I love you, Puddin'. She said, you know I love you, don't you? I said, yes, I know you love me. She said, Daddy, are you sure you know I love you? I thought it was. I'm doubting it now, but yeah, that's her way. Cindy has her way. Linda has her way. And in the family of God, Mrs. Ramsey has her way. She cries her way. She's swimming to heaven on tears. And she has her way. We used to have a fellow in our church in Texas. He'd get happy, he'd laugh. He'd go, he'd sit in the choir and go, and everybody else would be crying, somebody would be shouting, and he'd go, ah, ha, 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 ha. Now, keep it up. Don't get that. Don't lose that ha, ha, ha. By the way, he's a millionaire. So every time he ha, ha, I said, ha, 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 ha. I mean, that's the way he did it. That's the way he praised God. We used to have a fellow in Texas. Every time he'd get happy, he'd say, well, praise Jesus. They'd say, well, praise Jesus. Well, you know, God needs somebody to say, praise Jesus. And God needs somebody to say, I love you. And God needs somebody to laugh. And God needs somebody to jump up on a bed, make a trampoline out of it. He needs all of us, but He needs you. He needs the you He made. He made you like you are. In your case, He didn't have one of His better days, but He made you like you are. And He needs what you have. Don't change it. Develop it. Increase it. don't change it. He needs it. You're not like me, and I'm not like you. But God wanted the total praise that He could receive. And every creature He's ever made was made with a different personality, a different way of expressing of their love, praise, adoration, and devotion to our God. So you keep your identity. And as you grow in grace, you grow in grace. And when you see the real you leaving for another you, hold it a little bit. And you get educated. But when you see the real you leaving and another you that's a snob coming, hold it right there. Make all the money the real you can handle. If you can't handle it all, maybe I can help you handle a little bit of it. But make all the money the real you can handle. But as you grow in grace and as you grow in success,